welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord you're able to join me for the broadcast today. As I share some concluding thoughts on God's love, we've been looking at agape love, and we've been looking at 1 Corinthians, that 13th chapter, called the love chapter. In verses 11 and 12, Paul says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." Now remember, we're talking about agape love, so when he spoke as a child, he was speaking in a way as a child would speak, rather than speaking the truth in love, which takes a mature person to be able to speak the truth, because sometimes that's uncomfortable. And he had the understanding like a child. But Ephesians 1 and 18, Paul specifically declares and prays that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. It said he thought like a child. Well, a child is self-centered, but a Christian is called upon in Ephesians, the third chapter, 14 through 20, those verses, to be rooted and grounded in love so that he may, with his heart and thoughts, comprehend the width, the length, the depth, the height of our glorious salvation. James chapter 3 deals with speaking as a child with the most unruly member, which of course is our tongue. And of course, these verses include thinking and understanding as a child. In the last verses of this chapter, he tells us that, "But the wisdom that is from above," that's verse 17, "is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." So, beloved, we bear much fruit when we move from the baby stage as Christians into the maturity of agape love. And that beautiful love chapter concludes verse 13, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." The fruit of love is the greatest witness that we possibly can have. In John the 13th chapter, verse 35, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, when ye have love one for another." The Holy Spirit selected the word agape to express the love of God in the New Testament. This word appears some 329 times in one form or another. So, beloved, God is more concerned about what we are than what we do for Him. Now, love is also connected to obedience. That's important to understand. Let's see what 1 John, the second chapter and verse 5 says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him." So, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And then verses 9-11 says, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." We're to keep his word. What does that mean? We're to love it, to feast on it, to act on it, to obey it. When we keep his word, we grow in love. And now, beloved, there are some real, practical, down-to-earth benefits of agape love. First of all, and this is very important to the Lord, because one of the things the Lord hates, outlined in Proverbs, is he that sows discord among the brethren. Agape love will promote unity in the body of Christ. Hebrews 13 and 1 says, "Let brotherly love continue." What is the importance of love always flowing toward other Christians? Well, it helps us not to exalt ourselves above others, but to see them as beloved brothers and sisters in God's great family. We are members in particular, the word says, and love binds us together. And then in 1 John, the fourth chapter, just going over a few chapters, in verse 7 it says, "Beloveds, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And of course it goes on. So, beloved, if we will love one another, we will promote unity in the body of Christ, which is so important to the heart of God. Now, in terms of our own personal lives, you might not have thought of this, but love makes a person healthier in every area of your life. It's been proven by science that negative emotions cause our emotional and physical life, our health, to be disturbed. Anyone who's caught up in self-centeredness, in fear, in hate, in worry, frustration, stress, well, all of those negative emotions have been shown that they stimulate the adrenal glands and produce excessive levels of acid and adrenaline in the system. Many people can have just exhausted adrenals, and they're very acidic. But a person who loves will be healthier. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment." The more we grow in love, the more fear will be dispelled from our lives, and that's a good thing. Amen. King David, he had problems with fear until he was driven by his circumstances to seek the Lord about it. And then hear what he says in Psalm 34:4, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears." That's a wonderful scripture to remember. Seeking Jesus and more of his love is the answer to fear. And thirdly, love positively affects our prayer life. Galatians 5 and 6 says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Faith to move mountains. It avails nothing without love. In Mark, the 11th chapter, verse 23 through 25, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." And now listen to this. "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." Beloved, a person who loves will have no trouble with believing, since God, in his word, says, "Love believes all things," in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's Romans 15 and 13. Jesus said in John, the 15th chapter, verse 16, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And the one to whom brings forth much fruit, this is the one to whom this promise is given." Why? Because God's able to trust such a person, because love in his heart will be the first and foremost thing, a love for God, a love for his work, a love for fellow Christians, a love for the unsaved and the unlovable, and it will flow out to the point where even his enemies will be loved. Remember, that was Jesus' example to us on the cross. A person with much love will be able to hand much blessing as well as much trial. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what Romans 4 and 10 declares, so that we can receive reward for our service to God. And the fruit that will remain is the fruit that is produced through the law of liberty or the law of agape love. Love, beloved, never fails. Praise God. That should give us real encouragement that we can ask God to perfect that beautiful trait which is the glorious aspect of his character in our own lives. And beloved, you know, another thing that's very important is that you learn to love yourself as the Lord loves you. And one of the reasons I share as I do in the correspondence ministry or on the broadcasts is that the Holy Spirit will teach you how to increase your sense of value about yourself, to see yourself as the Lord does, and to be thrilled and excited about discovering God's purposes for your own life. Beloved, as each member of the body increases toward health, toward wholeness and maturity, the whole body of Christ is going to be affected. They're going to be edified and brought into perfect functioning. So often we focus on externals. We want to see, you know, circumstances change, but the Lord is seeking a deeper work. We have to be malleable in His hands, allowing Him to change our attitudes and our perceptions and to grow in godly wisdom by His Word and by His Holy Spirit. And He knows just how to give the increase when we're ready to receive it. There's a beautiful verse in Zechariah 9:12 I'll share with you. The Lord says, "Come to the place of safety, all you prisoners, for there is yet hope. I promise right now I will repay you 2 mercies for each one of your woes." Praise God. And also in Psalm 103:4, the word says, "He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Praise God. I do invite you to write. I have a portion of a letter here from a dear sister writing from Moreno Valley, and she says, "Dearest Sister Glass, first I want to mention how I enjoy the pictures," saying the little characters. You talk about my furry family and the word in your writings. "You make us feel like your family. You're so heavenly special." She says, "I'm praying but the challenges are testing my faith. You've been such a blessing to me throughout the years." She's written for many decades. Thank you, Sister Glass. And she closes writing from Moreno Valley. Beloved, I invite you to write. You are my spiritual family. I do say that. And those aren't just words. They are my sincere heartfelt belief and feeling. So I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, may God's richest blessings forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.